Welcome everyone to Calvin CRC this morning for worship, and we also welcome our viewing audience on live stream. We hope you'll enjoy the service as well. I have one announcement. Clarence Haringa, Steve's father, passed away, and he's from Woodin, Iowa, and I don't have a lot of details yet, but the visitation will be next Sunday, and the funeral will be next Monday, so hopefully we can get more information out to you as the week goes. We'd like to welcome Pastor Dave Schmidt here today with us. It worked out well. I was really struggling to get this Sunday filled, and I happened to call him about something else, and he told me his plans had changed, and he was able to make it today, so we're very happy for that. So let's worship together.
Thank you, David. It's a delight for Marion and myself to be back with you to worship and to celebrate God's goodness and grace to us through Jesus Christ. As we come to worship this last Sunday of the year, hard to believe, but our focus is joy, rejoicing, and we do so in the light of having celebrated Christmas this past Sunday, and as we anticipate the transition from an old year into another year. And Psalm 66 calls us to worship this morning when it says, "Shout with joy to God all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you and sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done." Isn't that awesome in terms of what we just celebrated with Christmas? "Come and see what God has done, how awesome are his works on man's behalf." Let's rise to sing joyfully to the Lord.
Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember this your birthday. bells, bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember this, your birthday.
Brothers and sisters, receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, born on Bethlehem, and through the power and outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Amen. In our prayer of confession, we again realize how much we need a Savior and how dependent we are upon him. So in this prayer of confession, let us pray together in unison. Let us say together, Holy and gracious God, at times we feel so frail and fragile, getting blown about by religious crisis, by bad news, by our own short tempers and failings. You call us to hold fast to what is good,
but so often we flounder, unable
to find that solid thing that will center us again. Help us, we pray. Help us to see you as our center,
and to cling to the good that you created in the world.
Help us to set aside all our jealousies and prejudices, all the betrayals and lies, all that adds to the world's hurt. Help us to grow even more into Christ's likeness,
that we may bear his love and truth to the world. We pray in his name. Amen.
God reassures us from his word when he says to us, My dear children, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. And his commandments is this, that we love God above all and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. We respond by singing together.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem. Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let's turn to the Lord in our time of prayer. Father in heaven, we know this is a time of joy because of what you have done. And we're thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he became one with us. It's hard to imagine that the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the one who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present, who knows all things, sees all things, hears all things, and is always present, is the one who became helpless, like a little baby, depending upon Mary for the essential needs that a baby has and Joseph as well. We know, Lord, that our nativity scenes are so sweet and serene and surreal. And yet we know, Lord, living in a farm community, what animals are like and what a stable is like and what a manger is like. And we know that it was not all sanitized, but stinky and smelling, even as sin has come into your world and the brokenness of our own lives stinks and smells to high heaven. But we're thankful, Lord, that you are the light that's come into the world and you are the one that dispels the darkness. And so we come with joy this morning, even though we have anxiety, we have worries, we have struggles, we have difficulties. But we come to lay them before the manger. And before the manger is the shadow of the cross. And we're thankful that this morning we see before us again an empty cross. And when we see the manger and we see the empty cross, we also see the empty tomb. And we know that the one who is the babe, Emmanuel, God with us, is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And in that joy we meet, knowing that we don't know what the future holds. As we conclude this year with its ups and its downs, with its joys but also with its great disappointments, we anticipate a new year, not knowing what it holds for any of us, but we know the one who holds time itself and unfolds it minute by minute, hour by hour, and day by day. And so we rest in him, knowing that he will give us what we need when we need it. We pray for our world filled with chaos, with an epidemic that is taking its toll. We pray for our own nation that has been polarized and struggling. We pray, Lord, for our congregation. We pray for those called to be elders and deacons. We pray that all those who are called to give leadership, that you would bless them and provide for them in our time of vacancy. We pray, Lord, for our search team, that you would bring to us a new pastor to lead us into your word at the appropriate time. And we pray, Lord, if that could be willed, that that would happen in this new year. We pray, Lord, for Lynn, who will have surgery tomorrow. We pray that you would give her peace as she submits to this procedure. We pray that it'll go well and that she will recover quickly. We pray, Lord, for the Herringa family as they mourn. We know, Lord, that we do not mourn and weep in vain. We don't mourn and weep like others who have no hope, but we have hope in Jesus Christ. And so as we lay that body in the ground as a seed, or those ashes in the ground as a seed, even as the seed which is planted in the spring must die before new life comes forth, so we know that that body too is planted there for but a short time. And we're thankful that our loved ones are already experiencing the joy of being in heaven with you. And so we pray today, Lord, for all those who have that empty chair, that empty place in their heart of a loved one who's been taken. We pray that you would lift them up and give them strength and grace as well and provide for them. And we pray that Steve's family too and all brothers and sisters and all family members will feel that nearness and that presence of God that only Jesus Christ, the one who born in Bethlehem, can give, because you are Emmanuel, God with us. We're thankful, Lord, the food pantry will be available for those, again, who will be in need this coming week. We pray for all those, Lord, that as food is distributed, they may do so and know so that that is distributed in the name of Christ and by caring people, that we do care for one another because you care for us. Even as you love us, may we love others, and may they be able to sense our love and be drawn to you. Open our hearts now to your word and by your spirit so that hearing your word this morning, we may conclude this year of worship, going on our way with anticipation of coming next Sunday when a new year will dawn on us. And we pray all this in the wonderful and gracious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we anticipate hearing God's word, let's rise together to sing One Small Child.
One small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream of a Savior tonight. One small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of life. Oh, one king bringing his gold and riches, one king ruling an army of might, one king kneeling with incense and candlelight, one king bringing us life. One small light from a city of might, one small light from the stars in the endless night, one small light from a face. Child in a land of a thousand, one small dream in a people of might, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small savior of life. Oh.
I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And I ask you to do that because I'm going to refer to some verses there, and I want you to respond as we look together at this passage this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Father, we praise you that you have made yourself known to us. How would we know who you are and what you've done for us? But you have given us your inspired, your infallible word so that we may know with clarity what your will is for our lives. And so as we look at this passage in light of the unfolding of time, and the beginning of a new year, we pray, Lord, that you would help us direct our attention, that you would take away any obstacles, anything that would detract us from what you want to say to us this morning. So, Lord, may they not just hear a person standing in front of them, but they may hear what you have to say and what it means for each of our lives personally by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the precious and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is God's word to us, Philippians chapter 4. I hope, I assume your Bibles are the NIV Bibles, the same ones I have. If not, that's all right too, I guess, if it's a different version. This is God's word to us, Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, also my sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you for Euodia. I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, fellows, help these women who are contending at my sight in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. And then here's our text for this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As you hear this passage, you may say to yourself, are you kidding? Is the Apostle Paul really kidding? Is he so out of touch with the reality that he would have this lucky-go-happy attitude about joy and rejoicing? I mean, in his time, there was great persecution going on. He was bound in a Roman prison as he writes this. How in the world can he really mean what he says here? And if he lived in our time, how in the world could he say to you and me today, rejoice, be glad, be happy, when we live in a pandemic? Just recently, we've gone through turbulent times with the vaccine and waiting for it to come, but already 1,713,000 people have died in the world, and 390,000 have died in the United States alone. And we've gone through a very hectic election where we've been polarized, where it's hard for us even to talk civilly with one another, but it's either your way or my way, your way or the highway. And in the church, too, we have some struggles within every church, also in our denomination, but in Paul's or in Paul's church, too, here in to the Philippians, there was two ladies who were tangling with each other for whatever reason. How can he say rejoice when struggles are that way? Well, I can sympathize with feeling that way, but we have to understand that Paul is not out of touch with reality. In fact, Paul experienced more suffering, more unrest, being neglected from the daily necessity of life than probably all of us put together. In another part of the scriptures, he talks about how he was flogged and severely beaten, how he was exposed many times to death, how five times he received 40 lashes minus one. That would be, what, 195 lashes? Three times he was beaten with rods. Three times he was shipwrecked. There was one time, a day and a night, he was in the open sea. He was stoned and drug out of the city and thrown along the road for dead. No, Paul knew what suffering and unrest and difficulty is all about. And so when he calls us to rejoice in the Lord, he is calling us to see something beyond what is our external circumstances. He wants us to see a greater picture than the immediate or that which is happening around us. He is looking at more than the immediate. And that's so important for us, too, as we close one year and as we anticipate a new year. We can't just dwell on the past, although it's real, and the struggles that we experienced. Paul is, again, speaking to something greater than happiness. Charlie Brown once said, happiness is a warm puppy. But what happens if your puppy runs away, or worse, dies or gets killed? Happiness is often depending upon happenings, but joy is foundational. Happenings oftentimes are horizontal, but joy has a vertical dimension that we always have to keep before us this morning. And notice he says, rejoice, period. No. What does it say? Can you bring the verse back up? Excuse me. Rejoice in the Lord. Just keep it up, that'd be great. Rejoice in the Lord. And that makes all the difference. So this morning, as we reflect on God's word this morning, we understand that as we rejoice, it has to be foundational. And that foundation is in the Lord himself. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord. What's the word? Always. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? Always? I mean, I can rejoice sometimes, and you can too. We have joy sometimes, but always? And as if it were something that we would probably miss and read right past it, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, what? I will say it again. Rejoice. And whenever the scripture says something twice, it is really for emphasis. It wants us to not neglect what it is saying, but really zero in what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I will say it again, rejoice. And that joy, that characteristic, must also be found not only just as a fruit of the Spirit, which is, of course, love, joy, peace. Joy is that which comes from the Holy Spirit, but must also be a characteristic of our life. And he goes on to say, let your, what? Gentleness be evident to all. That word gentleness in the original language is a very difficult word to translate. In fact, this is the only place that it's found. If you are familiar with the King James, it says, "Let your moderation be known to all." Does that sound familiar? Let your moderation be known to all. Another translation says, "Let your reasonableness be evident." It's the opposite of demanding what you want, no matter what. A commentator has put it this way: it is a patient willingness to yield whenever you are yielding that does not compromise your moral principles. This gentleness must be evident to all. So this joy, this rejoicing foundational, must become evident. It must work its way out. It must be seen in the way you live. How do you want to be known? Do you want to be known by a person that had a great appearance or had done a lot of good things or was well known in the community? Or how about you were well known to be a gentle person who was rejoicing and joyful in the Lord? That's what he calls us to do. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And how can we do that? The Lord is near. The Lord is near. What a beautiful thing as we just celebrated Advent together. The Lord is so near to us, he became one with us. Every experience, the scripture says, you have, the Lord knows about, because he lived among us. Every up and down that you experience, he has experienced ahead of you. And the only exception is that you and I are broken, sinful people. When he was not, he was without sin. And so he walks with you so that no matter what you experience, he is Emmanuel, God with us. Think about that for a moment. As you look at this past year and all the ups and downs that you have experienced, the highest points and the lowest valleys, the highest mountains and the lowest valleys, he was there. And he was providing for you, even in times when you didn't realize it. He is close to you. He is present with us. So that joy, that rejoicing in the Lord, that gentleness, the Lord is present with us. And for that reason, this next sentence is so important. Do not be what? Anxious. Do not be anxious. This past year, how often were you anxious? Oh, many times, right? Anxious, worried, concerned, couldn't sleep. And what about this new year that's ahead of us? Will there be times of anxiety, of anxiousness? To be sure. But do not be anxious. There's a lot to be anxious about. We are people by our very nature want to be in control. And there's so much outside of our control. And as a result, we worry about that. We worry about what's ahead in this new year. We worry about, well, the faith that we profess. I guess as a grandparent now that, and you may be a grandparent as well, we become more concerned about that. Will our children, will our grandchildren, will our great-grandchildren, will they believe, will they follow in the ways of the Lord, or will the influence of a godless society of which we are now becoming more and more part of, where Christianity, that which is right is now said to be wrong, and that which is wrong, according to what the Bible says, is now right. Will they believe that, and will they follow in that way, or will they know that there is a God who calls us to be accountable to him. And nothing is more important than that. And we can be concerned about that, and rightfully so. But it says, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Do not be anxious about anything. How can he say that? He must not know what kind of a life we live and what kind of a culture we're part of now. I mean, does he have any clue what our lives are going through? And the point is, yes, he does. Because by the Holy Spirit of God, this is the word of the Lord. This isn't just Paul giving us some good advice, some good luck charm to help us in our daily living. Don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and in petition, with thanksgiving. Paul is speaking of those things that are godless in our life, those things that are outside of our control, but he's also speaking about those things that are in our control, that we have to pray about them. Anxiety, the alternative to anxiety is prayer. The alternative to anxiety is prayer. Remember that God is near. He's available. We need to cry out to him. We release our anxiety comes when we lay our burdens before him. That's the antidote, isn't it? Prayer is the antidote to worry, to anxiety. And how can prayer help? Well, anxiety is rooted in ourselves, right? When we are anxious, what do? We have a problem, we have a concern, and so we look forward and try to control it. We look back, we look to one side or the other side, but everywhere we look is horizontal. But God's word says, when you are anxious, look up. Prayer focuses to the vertical, that there is something so much more important than what we experience right horizontally. That we have a God who knows all things. He's in control. He allows things to happen for a good purpose. Our confession is so incredible. Heidelberg Catechism, that first question and answer, we need to memorize that so that we know that we are not our own, that we belong body and soul in life and death to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all our sins with his He has fully paid for our salvation with his precious blood. And he has freed us from the tyranny of the devil. Listen, not a hair can fall from your head without the will of your Father in heaven. Not a hair can fall from your head. How minute is that? Not a hair can fall from your head without the will of your Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work for your salvation. I don't understand how that fits together, because there are pieces of the puzzle that doesn't fit together to give me a full picture, but this helps me see that that's true. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God, but with thanksgiving. Isn't that true that oftentimes when we pray for something, we may pray that we think we know what needs to happen, and so we pray for God to do that, but then God doesn't do that the way we wanted him to do it. But then later on, when we look back, we see that it was even a better way, that God had a better plan than what we had. When we pray, we look up, and we can take our burdens to him. And he will be the one that provides for us. Prayer is the cure to our anxiety. Paul gives us some characteristics by prayer when he says, in everything we need to pray. You know, sometimes we think we need to pray about the big things, and that's always true, but what about the little things? What about everyday plans? When you get up in the morning, do you look at the whole day, and are you planning? Are you anticipating? Are you desirous to do whatever you do for the glory of God? Or is it just a horizontal thing? Get through the day, provide for you. by prayer and what else? And what? Petition. Petition. Prayer and petition, or supplication, another translation has it. We pray on a regular basis, but there are times when we notch up our prayers, right? If you have a child or a grandchild has suddenly become sick, you pray, but all of a sudden you pray more specifically, right? Or you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, we see something on the x-ray we don't like, we want you to come back. All of a sudden your prayer becomes more intense, right? That's what the apostle says. There's praying, but then there's also supplication, where you're crying out to the Lord. There's petitioning the Lord. And we do that, making known our need, our concern. God knows that we need this kind of advice as we conclude one year and begin a new year. And just to think about that, you and I, fallen, hell-deserving, finite creatures, can talk to the Almighty God who speaks but a word and this entire cosmos came into being. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, when you think about the galaxies, just our galaxies has billions of stars. And there are millions and millions of galaxies out there with billions and billions and beyond that stars. And he created all things. He is almighty, and he listens to you and me, and he knows the hairs on your head, and he knows the concern of your heart. And we can go to him. What an incredible thing. Paul describes the consequences when we cry out to the Lord. And that's this last sentence, which is so beautiful. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then what's the next sentence? Well, you flip the next screen, and here's the result. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding. This peace of God, notice it's a peace of God, not peace with God, but it's talking about peace of God. Peace of God, or peace with God, is that relationship you have. If there is still a chasm between you and the Almighty, in that you have never given yourself over, you have never surrendered your life, you are still on the throne of your own heart, if you will. If Jesus Christ isn't the center of your life, then you don't have a lot of hope for the future. And this is very tragic. And you must look at that before this year ends. Because if Jesus Christ is not the center of your life, you are hell-bound. That's what God's word says. Because I don't care how good a life you live or what you do, if Christ hasn't died for your sins, you stand in your sins. And so you need Christ. Nothing is more important than that. But when you believe by faith in Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's not what you did or did not do. It's what he did for you. And you accept that gift as a faith, as you believe it for yourself. And when you do that, you experience God's peace. The text isn't talking so much about the peace that God gives, but the peace that exists in God himself. In God's very being, we experience that tranquility, that joy, that calm, that serenity, that characteristic of being in God himself. A commentator put it this way: when we fervently and honestly and passionately pour out our request to God, something of the very nature of God himself, his inner peace, what he himself as God experiences, comes into us and takes up residence and governs our hearts and overcomes and replaces our anxiety, our anxious thoughts, and enables us to experience the depth of that spiritual serenity that God himself feels and enjoys. Isaiah the prophet said that when he said, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose heart and mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the eternal rock." And that peace that God gives will surround you. And it surpasses, it transcends your ability to understand it. That's God's gift to us. And as we look back in this past year, that's what we really need as we conclude this year in this last week. And as we anticipate this new year that stands before us, it guards. That peace of God transcends understanding and it guards. It doesn't guard your life. It doesn't guard your bank account. It guards your heart. And you have to understand, the Apostle Paul was seated there between two Roman soldiers, handcuffed to two soldiers, and he was in a Roman prison. And as he is guarded, there's no possible way that he could escape. He's saying, as I'm guarded here, so God will guard your heart in Christ Jesus. Notice, sometimes it's Jesus Christ, but here it's what? Christ Jesus. Kim Reynolds is our governor. That's her personal name. Jesus is his personal name. Governor Reynolds is her official name. Christ is Jesus' official name. And on the official name of Jesus, the one that came and laid down his life for you and me, it's because of his sacrifice, God will give you that peace that will guard and keep your heart and your mind. I have to tell you that this morning I'm preaching to myself, because I read an email last night that alarms me a great deal in terms of what's coming in this new year. And as I finished reading that, I was disturbed. So disturbed, I didn't even tell my wife because I didn't want to disturb her. But this is what I need to hear. And this is a good message. And you say, you know, this is good. I appreciate that. But I want you to go further. In fact, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to go home today. And I'm challenging you to write out these verses, 4-7, which is really just three sentences. And I'm asking you to memorize this. Memorize this word for word so that you can say it to anybody day and night. And as you do that, before you go to bed at night, as you're laying on your pillow, what a wonderful thing to do to close the day is to take these words and put them to your memory, so that no matter what you experience in this coming year, because we don't know what's ahead of us, we don't have to be dismayed because we have God. No matter what happens, I mean, when you look at world history, there have been some huge upheavals and there's been horrific things that have happened. And we've enjoyed peace and prosperity and blessing. But this is rock solid stuff. And this is what you need and I need for this new year. That we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And that peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you put that to memory, and you can say it by heart, and that you can make that the theme for this new year, I want to tell you, you have a foundation that is rock solid. And no matter what happens, through the best and through the worst, you have God's truth that will give you that stability that in the turbulent seas of which we live, you will have a stronghold in Christ, and he will give you what you need when you need it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is so applicable to us today. Even as the apostle wrote this word in a time of turbulence in his life, we know, Lord, that at any moment they might come and execute him for his faith. He had a death sentence on his head, but yet he could write this: rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. We know that he was a man of gentleness through ups and downs, and we're thankful that he was a great man of prayer. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you worked through him to bring this word, your word, to us today. Lord, I pray that many, many here this morning in the sanctuary, but also on live stream, will take this challenge to heart, that they will open their Bibles, they'll write this on a card and put it in their pocket or tape it to their mirror or to their fridge, and that this will be a theme song, a theme verse for the rest of the year. Because this is rock-solid truth that will help us in times of uncertainty. So through the best and through the worst, Lord, you are with us because you are Emmanuel. You have come to love us and to care for us. And so I pray that you will guide us by your Spirit, that this will be the truth that gives us what we need in the days ahead. We pray all this in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's rise to sing Jesus Messiah.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all. Rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. Blessed for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Has blessed us abundantly in the gift of himself and in the blessings that he's given you and me each day. Hopefully you have already deposited your offering in the baskets in the back. If not, as you leave, please do so as we celebrate God's goodness and his grace and for the blessings that he gives us. Receive God's departing blessing. Go into this new week and into this new year with the joy of God's love, in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit to love God above all and love your neighbor as much as you care for yourself. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen.
May the God of hope go with us every day, filling all our lives with love and joy and peace. May the God of justice speed us on our way, bringing light and hope to every land and race. Praying, let us work for peace, singing, share our joy with all, working for a world that's new. Our shepherd as we go our way, and will not forsake us when we go astray. Even though the load of life is hard to bear, we must not forget that God is always there. Praying, let us work for peace, singing, share our joy with all, working for a world that's new. Faith.